Hey guys, welcome to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. The Fit Dad Lifestyle is a community and supplement brand where fathers support other fathers throughout the journey of fatherhood. We believe that maintaining a healthy lifestyle isn't about crash diets and the latest workout craze. Instead, we offer dads the education, resources, and support they need to maintain a balanced lifestyle long term. There aren't a lot of dedicated community groups for dads, and we know that men are generally less likely to talk about the challenges they face in life. So we wanted to go above and beyond the meal plans and quick fixes and offer a way for fathers to communicate in a helpful, negative-free environment. Whether it's supporting your partner when a new baby arrives, balancing work and the kids, or just fitting in time to get your health and fitness back on track. This podcast aims to inspire, motivate, and encourage you to be the best father that you can be and the leader that your kids want to see you be every day. It's brought to you by Fit Dad Fuel. Fit Dad Fuel is our supplement range. Our supplement range helps support this podcast, the workouts, the online education, and the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes to help keep everything as cost-free as possible for dads worldwide. Enjoy the episode. Here it is, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 122 of the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. Today, we've got Jeff Lopez. So, Jeff, father, entrepreneur, author, podcast host of the Jeff Knows Show, which I was a previous guest on as well, and coach. So, Jeff, welcome to the podcast, mate.
I appreciate you having me, buddy. It's an honor to be here.
Mate, can you tell the audience a little bit more about where you're from and what you're currently doing and how many kids you've got?
Yeah, so I got two super active kids, a 12-year-old, gosh, 13, he just turned 13-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. And we're from, based out of Toronto, Canada, born and raised out of Toronto, Canada. So you got a Canadian here, the polite ones across the border here. And I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years. I love building and selling things. So the entrepreneurial side has always been with me since I was 19. And I now currently coach, I run a podcast, author, tons of layers and tons of things we could get into, but my main focus is my family always. I put my family's priorities above everything I do, and everything else just follows behind in a nice sequence.
Yeah, mate, I love that. And it's a great approach to have. Mate, how has fatherhood, obviously being a father for 13 years now, how has it changed the outlook on how you approach life?
Yeah. I got a little different senses, right? I mean, when we'll go through that little quick story of my son, but it's given me a different purpose. I mean, when you have kids, you understand fully what unconditional love is, right? And how you start prioritizing what is important to your life. And something we talked about, and there's stats out there and you're very prevalent on it, is how much time do you have with your kids before they turn to the age of 18, and understanding that. And as I get older, I really started focusing on time as a currency and really understanding how important time is. And that is not even my kids, it's even my parents, close friends. You want to validate the people that are close in your life and realize everything you're doing business-wise is just to allocate wealth as freedom, the freedom to spend with your loved ones, spend time with them. So if you're just doing it in the work, and you're not using that money to allocate your freedom of time, you're letting time pass you by, and something you can't get back, right?
Yeah, mate, I love that approach and that way of looking at it. I haven't thought about it, you know, quite like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of dads out there that are probably itching their head going right now with everything they're doing, with all the overtime and working away and, you know, and wondering, shit, is it really, you know, what am I doing? Is it moving me closer to what you just said? So, mate, how do you best manage your time throughout the week? Are you someone who is very strict by the books, you know, you stick with the timings and, you know, everything is down to the minute? Or are you, you know, all over the shop, I guess, with all the different hats that you have and then obviously fatherhood on top of that?
No, so my schedule is something I stick with. I use everything as blocks. So what I do is I realize what is important. I call the non-negotiables. Those non-negotiables, and I focus my schedule on a monthly basis, Leroy, and those are my non-negotiables. I put my non-negotiables in. So one of my non-negotiables we talked about is 3 to 7. So 3 to 7 p.m. every night, I try to be home. And I mean, there's times traffic, there's times things happen. I'll get home a little later, but dinner time at home is a guaranteed schedule. So what I do is I put on all my non-negotiables. I put on my time with my family, appointments with the family, anything to do with the family first. And then I put my health and business above that on the schedule. And I stick with the schedule. So if I got an appointment for an hour, that hour is blocked when I'm done. If I hadn't finished that task, I'll move that task to another day, the rest of it. But I really stick with the schedule, because I find the minute you start spreading the schedule out, things start overlapping, things start getting confused, and things that are important stop being important for you. So really, really focus on my schedule, block my schedule, be precise with my schedule, and study my schedule. I think that's a huge part of what I do.
Yeah, definitely. And Mike, you mentioned your book and being an author and releasing that. How did that play into the whole schedule? How much time did you have to allocate towards writing that and editing and the whole process that goes towards
that? So my book's is a very long book. I use my book as, it's only 102 pages. And I literally started my book writing in April, and the book was for sale by March. In 11 months, it was actually out for sale on all the shelves and stuff. And how I did that is I did allocate it. What I did was, when I want to add something to my schedule, I'll figure what else I can remove out of my schedule. So I balance things out. So I don't keep adding. I balance it out and I'll remove certain things out of my schedule. So that was a goal of mine for 2020, was the podcast, write a book. I got a couple certifications as a coach and create my man's entrepreneurial dad's man's purpose platform. So I had all these goals I wanted to add on to my other businesses. So I really focused on schedule and planning it out properly. And I try to have fun with it, right? The whole idea of my book was not to write this massive novel or this massive autobiography. It was a book that if I were to hand to you, and I'm going to actually send you one, if I were to hand to you, you read it, by the time you're done, my goal with that book was you turn around like, I want to learn more about Jeff. It was more of a branding aspect, the building aspect of myself. And everybody that's read it, the first thing they always say is, I want to learn more about you when I'm done. So it achieved what I wanted to achieve, right? It's just a very simple book, 7 lessons on entrepreneurs and dads. And I know a lot of dads and entrepreneurs, a lot of people hate the word balance, but I use it very often because it is a balance. You're trying to balance both sides and achieve both, right? You don't want to forget about your career, but you do have to realize your family's priority as well, right?
Yeah, mate, 100%. And is there a family ritual that you guys have every week? Is it, like fish and chips down by the river, or, roast night on a Sunday, or movie night on a Wednesday? Is there something that you guys stick to or try to stick to every chance you get?
Yeah, I mean, Friday nights is always movie night for us. I mean, that's one thing we do, is Friday nights is our night just to unwind, and we go in the basement and we literally just on the big screen just put on a movie, grab the popcorn, and then we have a big popcorn machine. We just chill out and watch a movie every Friday night. And then when we watch our family movie, usually the kids go to bed or the kids go upstairs and do their own stuff. And me and my wife will watch a movie on our own kind of thing, right? Just spend some time together too. But I mean, we're very scheduled family. What I'm scheduled is I try to do something, especially the last 24 months, especially in Canada, our school system has been pretty much closed. We've been open very, very little. So my kids are homeschooled and they're in front of a computer all day. So when I get home, it's all about outdoor activity. So we, as a family, we will literally go for a bike ride, a hike, go to the park. We try to do an hour and a half, sometimes even up to 2 hours every day, outdoors activities to get the kids out of their environment and get them active, get them moving and stuff. And we're very much a fitness family. Like me and my 12-year-old son work out together. He's my workout partner.
Yeah, perfect.
And if you go to our Instagram pictures, you'll see we literally train together. We lift weights together. We train together. And that's something as a family, we try to be as active as we can all together. It just spends time together, builds a good environment, and at the same time too, it's beneficial to everybody, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's when you mentioned the workout part in there, it's something I've been doing with my children of late. Like it's been testing time. So I guess it's been like for my middle child now, because we had a newborn a couple of weeks ago, it's a very big change for him. He's gone from just him and his brother to now having a little girl in the house, and he's being very naughty and very, sort of hard to deal with. Yeah, very
testing the waters. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of yelling like or getting angry or giving him a smack on the butt, whatever the case is, every time he be naughty, right, 10 push-ups. And it just breaks that, I guess that
what is it, the receptors between what he was doing and, you know, what I want him to do. It sort of breaks that pattern and then does his 10 push-ups and then he's normal again. He knows that that's his punishment now. And, you know, how long that will last, I'm not sure. But it, rather than me getting yelling, rather than, you know, me getting angry or him getting frustrated or upset, then, you know, we're sort of gone to that method and it's actually working well. Surprisingly, you know, he just drops down and his technique and everything else is improved out of sight because he's doing it that often. And mate, it's different. Yeah, it's been a game changer.
And it's crazy is my kids are both like super active. My daughter's a high performance dancer. My son plays active, but plays competitive training, traveling baseball. And like, I'll literally come home, Leroy, and my kids are fighting over who's going to get on the treadmill first. Like they literally work out every day almost. It's just insane. They don't play video games. They're just, it's all about fitness. It's all about fitness. My daughter now is homeschooled. She's got an hour break and we're leaving and she does, every morning she does her yoga. Then at night she does her treadmill. It's just, it's in how many 13 or 14 year olds you could say do that, which is amazing. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned
could I suggest one thing to you too? And you might do this already because you have, because you're saying that with your children, is really allocating, even if it's 15 or 20 minutes once a week or twice a week, separately with each kid. Take that kid out of their environment and be like, hey, I know, and talk to them as if they're almost an adult. Say, hey, I understand it's a lot of pressure. You have both. So I'm going to actually allocate and spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes. We're going to go play cat, whatever you want to do. This is your time once a week. And this is me and you bonding time. And they start thinking about that, looking forward to that and realizing, hey, dad's putting time aside for me separate from the other kids.
Yeah,
and it works. I've done that. We used to do that with our kids all the time, right? Just separate the time with them. Yep. And they really appreciate that a lot more, right?
Mate, 100%. Great advice. Mate, you mentioned homeschool a couple of times now and, you know, the school system over there being continuously closed, obviously going through what we're going through. Is it something that you're looking at maintaining once school goes back or your kids actually enjoy going to school?
My kids enjoy it. I feel I'm a strong believer in that, in the mental health issue. They need to be socialized. My son, I'll give you a little, am I okay with giving me a little rundown of his history?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So 13 years ago, his birthday was just this past week. So 13 years ago when he was born, we almost lost him and my wife on the day of his birth. And my wife was rushed to the hospital. She was 31 weeks pregnant. And through the whole process, he spent the first 4 months of his life in Sikkim's hospital. We're blessed. We have one of the greatest hospitals in the world. And through the whole process, like I said, we almost lost him 5 or 6 times. And when he was discharged from the hospital, we were giving discharge papers. He was diagnosed and labeled with CP, cerebral palsy. And we were told he would be confined to a wheelchair. And my biggest thing is I couldn't gasp the understanding of seeing my son suffer his whole life. So I went on a different purpose of my life. My purpose was to make sure I could get this kid to walk, and everything he'd happened, we took it as a win. So when he first, for example, like when he came out of the hospital, like 6 organs in his body were damaged. His brain was heavily damaged. He didn't have no function on his right side of his body. And we had to start from ground zero. To even like pushing his finger into a plaster seam was a big deal for us, right? So we went through this whole process and I eventually, with all the therapy and the work I put into him, we eventually got him into AFOs to braces, and he's wearing full braces. And they were told that he'd be wearing braces till he was 18, 19. And now, I think I told you the other day, his 13th birthday was on April 19th. And the day before his 13th birthday, he ran his first marathon with me. He's fully out of his braces for the last year. So it's been this incredible journey. And one thing with my son is with everything he's been through, that socialization, that interaction with other kids is so valid for him. It keeps his brain working, keeps him active. So seeing my kids now stuck in front of a little screen 5-6 hours a day, yep. And I see how he's deteriorating. He's taking a step back on his education. So I'm a strong believer that is not even the educational part. It's the interaction, the socialization is so important for their brains. It's so important for them to be out and see and do and be active and walk. And so I'm all about schools being open. And I like the way it looks in Canada, to be honest, I don't think they're going to back to school this year.
Really?
It looks like the way they're talking right now, we're not going to have no school this year. Our schools had a 99.5% COVID-free. And they still close all the schools, which is crazy, absolutely crazy. But it is what it is. We're just trying to navigate through it, but it's not a fun time. So long-winded answer. I truly believe kids need to be around other kids and socialize and interact and learn social skills. I think is so important for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Well, mate, on that, I'll commend you for the amount of effort and the amount of, you know, purpose you had behind your mission of, you know, doing that for your son, because there's a lot of people that, you know, could have taken that news and, you know, just sort of held their head down and, you know, like sort of took the brunt of that negative news and, you know, gone all poor me, but you've gone out there and you've actually, you know, risen above and, you know, done everything you can to take your son to the level he is now and that the level he's going to be able to get to. So, mate, well done on, you know, taking that initiative and, you know, the persistence.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick little 2-second story, and I don't understand people's mindsets. And this sometimes I still question this. It's been 13 years and I still question this all the time. When I was at the hospital for 4 months, we were there 7 days a week. We would drop my daughter at daycare. We were there from 7 in the morning until 7 at night, come home, pick my daughter from daycare, come home. I dealing with my own anxiety and stress. I would go take the dog for an hour or two walk, come home, have dinner, and literally just study everything the doctors had talked about that day. Next day, start again. Then we did that for 4 months. I did that 4 months of my life. I shut down all my company. I did that for 4 months of my life to get him out of the hospital. And we used to sit by his bed. Like he was a couple weeks old and months old. Yep. We used to sit by his bed every single day. And he was on the fourth floor and the ICU. It was the most intense room of sick kids. There were 6 beds in that room. And every couple of days, a child would pass away there. And it was just a rotating door. And we would never see parents there. Odd time, we see a parent come in for a meeting with a doctor. They would leave. We never see parents there. And one day, we had one nurse. Her name is Marianne. She was a complete angel. And one day I looked at Marianne, I go, why are we the only parents always here? Like, we don't see them very, very rarely. They do come for an hour, they leave. I go, why aren't they here? And she goes, Jeff, your son's going to make it out of here because you are here and he knows you're here all the time. He knows you're here. He goes, that passion, that love is going to help him out of here. These other parents, they know their children's lives have a very low risk, very high chance of not making it out of here. And they don't want to build that human connection, that parent bond with their child. So they only come here when there's appointments are needed. And I stood there and I was just like, I till this day, I still remember she said it to me. I was just like, this is crazy. And it's coming to a point where you said, it's just, I mean, people always say to me, my son was born for me for a reason. Cause I'm this ultimate hustler. I don't stop. When you say, don't do something, I'll go a million, 1,000% faster to make sure it's done. So I think his benefit of having me as a dad to push, when he said, like an example, like him hopping on one leg, it took 3 months. Most people would give up after a day, 2 days. And I literally pushed it day in, day out till he hopped on one leg. So all these things, but vice versa, him being what he went through made me a better man. It made me more responsible. It made me more caring. It made me have this drive in me. So we kind of match each other. Like we're almost made for each other. So I think it's a very special thing. But it's like you said, there is a lot of parents wouldn't drive that extra mile. And then sometimes I grasp and I can't understand. And that's why I have this passion for fatherhood and teaching other fathers, because you could have everything and you just have to be able to impact your time in there. Right.
Right. Yeah. 100%. And so it's disappointing to hear, you know, that. And I don't get it. It would never be something that comes from me, but you know, when you talk about developing that human connection and, you know, the emotional state that must take, that obviously some hard decisions there that have been made to, I guess, make that call in the first place. None that I could agree with, but you know, each to their own, I guess. It's,
yeah.
Mate, if you could go back to day one of fatherhood and tell yourself something that you know to be true today, what would that be?
Something that would be true today.
Something that you've learned over the last 13 years of fatherhood that you may not have known on 14. Yeah. Day one of fatherhood.
Yeah. Unconditional love. I mean, the simplest answer being is like, you don't realize that you would jump in front of a bullet for something, and nothing against my wife, but you jump in front of a bullet for something till you have children. Right. It's unconditional love where it's like, you're going to do whatever you can. You go outside in the winter, you're not thinking of putting a jacket on yourself. You're worrying about them being cold first. It's that everything changes in a positive way. You learn compassion, you learn empathy, you learn how to be patient, especially with kids, especially with my son, with everything he went through. patience was something I had to learn. If I didn't learn patience, how would I be able to deal with that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And mate, what bit of advice would you have out there, your top bit of advice for fathers who are looking to achieve success with fatherhood, their health and fitness, or any entrepreneurial journey that they may be taking?
Fatherhood is learning to, one, appreciate your time with your kids, understand how important the time with your kids is. Second is learning to enjoy the time with them. When I mean enjoy is being present. It's so easy to sit in a living room and your kids on the video game and you're on your phone and I spend time with them. No, be present, get out, do activities, build memories. I always say even record your memories. I'm a strong believer in developing your pictures. A lot of people, it's almost like a lost art. And I always talk about this, and I just put in my book, a lot of people don't develop pictures. I think it's so special, the art of an actual photo, be able to smell it, touch it, feel it. So every time we do it, we go on a road trip, do anything, we develop all our pictures and we put them in albums. And it doesn't pass like at least once a month, I go upstairs and my kids are on the floor in their bedrooms, going through albums, looking through all stuff, laughing together and stuff. So stuff like that is so precious. And I think a lot of people don't take the time to really record the memories, build memories. And they're always about, okay, I'll do it next week. Or no, just do it now. If you have something to do, do it now. Live in the moment, be present, enjoy the moment. Just take time and take a deep breath, right? And a little thing too, is I always tell parents is it's very easy to take your outside environments into your home. So a lot of guys were, you don't even think about it. You've had a bad day, but you don't even realize you've had a bad day. Somebody cut you off in traffic. You went to the grocery store, somebody pissed you off or something happened. You come home and the minute you walk in, if you just have a frown on your face, you just throw your bag down, that negative energy changes the whole outcome of that night. Your kids are just like, oh, dad's in a bad mood, or your wife. I always say is when you get in front of your house, even if you don't feel like you've been in a bad mood, take 2 minutes, take a deep breath, let everything out of your head, reset yourself, walk in with a smile. The minute you walk with a smile and everybody sees that smile and they smile back, it changes the whole atmosphere of the evening. So I think is learning how to appreciate your time, build memories, and just leave what is outside. When you come home, enjoy your time with them and make it a pleasant time with them, right?
Right, definitely. I love the whole build your memory thing and their photo albums. And we do something similar. I think it's just with Apple Books, to tell you the truth, or just directly from the phone, you can sort of allocate the 20 pictures or 30 pictures, whatever you want to do, and put them into a little hardcover. And a week later, it sort of comes in the mail. And
I love that. Same thing.
Kids love it. You always see them going in there and flicking through, and because they don't have the phones, memories, they don't have the ability to just flick through 20,000 pictures on your camera roll. And
I'm going to tell you, Leroy, those photos, one day when you're not around, they're going to be showing their kids and their grandkids those photos. Like, I'll give you an example. My son was out. We were at my dad's house like around 6 months ago. And my dad was talking about the army and all this. And my son's like, oh, dad, grandpa, like army. And he literally went upstairs and grabbed his album of black and white photos, whatever, 70, 60 years old, that he was in the army. And he's going through them. And my son was just memorized. If he didn't have those photos, he could have told these stories all day long, but he had no visual to it. And that visual component is so important. All of a sudden, my son's like, oh, can I have this one, grandpa? And he put it in his room. It's just those, now he has that memory and he has that understanding of what his grandfather did because he could visually see it. So develop pictures. They're so important.
Yeah, mate, 100%. That context goes a long way. And I can just picture your kids right now, mate, with that picture of your father in the army uniform. They must be so proud. So, mate, that's perfect. Mate, where can people find you online and what do you have coming up that people might be able to get involved in?
Yeah, so I have something that's like is a passion project, and it's not even something but more of a moneymaker, more of a passion project. So I built a community called A Man's Purpose. It's for entrepreneurial dads. I've been coaching entrepreneurs from 0 to 6, 7 figures for the last 3 to 4 years. And it is now something where I want to build a community and teach dads and entrepreneurs how to find balance in their lives, how to succeed in their business. So what we do is we do weekly coaching. I built an on-track accountability program. So once a week, we answer these 5 questions to hold you accountable to all your goals. We have a reflection journal. everything together and you're paying 47 Canadian a month, which is like 35 US a month, and you're getting weekly coaching in this community. So it's called A Man's Purpose. You can catch it on jeffreylopes.com, JeffreyLopes. And in social media wise, you can catch me on IG. That's where I'm most active. And I have to at Jeff Lopes, JeffreyLopes.
Perfect, mate. Well, mate, I will put all that in the show notes. So guys, if any of you are running right now in the car or at the gym, make sure you check out the description at the end of the podcast and you'll be able to get in touch with Jeff and jump on board one of his courses and jump on that entrepreneurial journey. So mate, highly appreciate making the time to come on. You go enjoy the rest of the night over there with the family and we'll catch up with you very soon.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you, Leroy.
Thanks, mate.